Please be seated. All right, guys, it's time. Anybody else? I imagine that Jesus' disciples and friends had some level of trepidation every time they went out in public with Jesus. Has he got his dander up? They likely asked in hushed tones. Will he say something nice? Or will he say something or do something that will get us all killed? I am sure there were times, like the story from our gospel today, when those around him longed for a Jesus like this. This is Jesus in my pocket. And this Jesus says only nice things. This is a picture of Jesus helping me write this sermon that I took using my Pocket Jesus app. You can put this Jesus anywhere, and he's very handsome, and he looks strong. Actually, he's ripped. He looks like he works out 4 or 5 hours a day. Best of all, when you press this little praying hands thing, a choir of angels sings, and he reads scripture to you. And he only says nice things. This Jesus looks like he could rescue us from all sorts of trouble. But, you know, a Jesus who only says nice things is powerless. Jesus' true strength and power come from his ability to speak truth, to say hard and challenging words. In our story from Luke, Jesus has been preaching and teaching at length about a complete transformation of the world and for the need of all people to repent and follow him into a new and whole relationship with God. Likely hoping to incite Jesus' anger against the Roman occupation, someone in the crowd tells Jesus about some fellow Galileans who were brutally murdered when they went to make sacrifice in Jerusalem. Jesus doesn't take the bait, however. Instead, he turns the tables on the crowd and calls them on their own self-righteous attitude. In Jesus' day, a common assumption among the people of Israel was that those who experienced pain or affliction of any sort, that they were being punished by God for either their own sins or the sins of an ancestor or family member. Jesus was trying to sell repentance to a crowd who thought they had no need to repent. After all, nothing bad had happened to them. So Jesus challenged them. Do you think these Galileans suffered because they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? Do you think those who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell, that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, unless you repent, you will perish just as they did. Repent or perish. These are words we hear only during Lent. Preaching, and for that matter, listening to sermons, would be a whole lot easier if the gospel had no difficult words. One without the diatribes, Jesus' diatribes on suffering and death. It would be easier if we could just do away with Lent and hear only Jesus' easy words. But we can't do that. We cannot pick and choose biblical passages based on whether Jesus' words are offensive or hard to hear. Jesus' hard words were not just for a group of rule-breaking Galileans. His words are for everyone who chooses to follow Jesus. These words are not about a one-time repenting and a one-time perishing. This is an ongoing process. We continue to repent as we continue to perish. These instructions should be printed like the directions on a shampoo bottle. Repent or perish. Repeat. We like to think of ourselves as at least slightly more advanced than the people who walked the streets of ancient Palestine. Yet, every time there is a natural disaster, some good Christian feels compelled to go on national television and tell us what those people did to deserve such calamity. Now, I know what you are thinking. You're thinking, Sarah, we're not that kind of Christian. I know, because I think that too. But Jesus would say to us, repent or perish. We engage in the same sort of thinking in far more subtle ways. When we get laid off, or receive a scary diagnosis, or fail to be accepted to the college of our choice, or our spouse walks out, we ponder, what did I do wrong? Or this is their fault. They took advantage of me. Or why does God have it out for me? Like our spiritual ancestors, we look to assign blame. Repent or perish. Jesus will have none of that kind of thinking. I believe the word repent is what sets us on edge. I always imagine someone shaking their finger at me when I hear the word repent. The word repent seems to have a bad rap. To our ears, the word repent implies that there is blame to be assigned. And let's face it, when Jesus uses the word repent, our assumption is that he's blaming us. Repenting does not call us to cast blame or to accept blame. Repenting simply calls us to change direction, to stop what we are doing and do something different. When Jesus said, "Repent or you will perish just as they did," Jesus was not telling us, "Repent or go to hell." Those who died in Luke's story perished without a whole and life-giving relationship with God and without the loving support of a Christian community. Jesus wants each and every one of us to live lives reconciled to God and in the embrace of a faith community. Jesus wants us to know God's joy in this lifetime. After Jesus' rant on repentance, he tells this funky little grace-filled parable about a fig tree, a gardener, and manure. Ah, manure. Now there's a word we know a lot about. Sarah McDonald wrote the book Holy Cow, An Indian Adventure, about her time living in India. She lived in a predominantly Hindu urban area where cows were allowed to wander and defecate wherever they pleased. Early in her time in India, she decided she hated cows, but mostly she hated cow pies. They were everywhere. In some places, the streets and sidewalks were one giant cow pie. After months of dancing around and hopping over piles of dung, she noticed that Indian people tried to avoid stepping in cow droppings if they could, but they didn't put a whole lot of effort into it. They certainly did not waste time, any time or energy, cursing cows every time they soiled their feet. Cow pies were a fact of life. Eventually, your feet were going to get dirty. McDonald discovered some life learning while dodging dung heaps. Into every life, some dung will fall. You don't have to let it ruin your day or your life. In case you were wondering, there is a connection between manure and repentance. Repentance is what turns an ordinary stinking pile of dung into fertile ground from which new growth can spring. Into every life, some dung will fall. Sometimes, stopping what you are doing and doing something new is relatively painless. Instead of toughing it out alone, you ask someone for help and wonder why you never thought of that before. Sometimes, however, repentance, change, can seem worse than wallowing in a heap of dung for the rest of your life. Repentance can mean facing terrible pain and brokenness. A Jesus who only says nice things would never say, "Repent or die." And he would never talk about manure. That's just not polite. But what good is a Jesus who cannot go the distance in the inevitable dung heaps of life? Jesus' words are hard, because sometimes life is hard. God promises that if we are willing to do the work of repentance, if we will stop, turn, and go in a new direction, God will be with us to turn the soil and bring about new growth. We will flourish and bear fruit. Repent or perish.
God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being.